Big news out of Boston. I don't know if you heard, I'm sure you have, that Claude Julien was relieved of his duties about 15 minutes ago.
I saw that. Classic Bruins. They do it on the day of the
Super Bowl.
Patriots Super Bowl. And they actually, I just saw, they're having the press conference at 11:30, which is 10 minutes after the Super Bowl parade starts, which is like, are you kidding me? What are they? It's just going to be Neely and Sweeney talking to an empty room.
Yeah, well, that's what they said. They said Don Sweeney is going. It was funny because of my Twitter timeline. It says Super Bowl parade to begin at 11 a.m. And then the next tweet was from our sports department. It says Don Sweeney press conference at 11:30. Talk about trying to hide.
Like, talk about just treating your fans who are already upset anyway with no respect. I mean, it's not surprising. I think everyone kind of was waiting for this to happen with Julien.
Only for about six years, though, Ryan.
But in the end, I mean, it's really not on him. He wasn't given much of a roster to succeed. There's been some trades there that really that have been long discussed and disagreed with Sagan and all that. So I said it from the beginning that he'll be hired very quickly. I mean, maybe the Islanders grab him. I know Doug Waite's doing great, but who knows what's going to happen? I think he won't be jobless for very long.
Ryan, we know that Cam Neely is the president of the Boston Bruins, and we heard all the stories. He never got along with Pete Chiarelli. He's gone, and apparently never got along with Claude Julien as well. Do they really trust Cam Neely to be running this organization? Is he really the right guy for this? Because the two decisions he's made, those are the guys who are instrumental in bringing the Stanley Cup to Boston, and they're now both gone, and now Cam is the guy running the ship.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you ask most Boston Bruins fans, at a high percentage of them, they would say no. It's funny, you see so often in sports when great legendary players end up having a role in management and you know, president, stuff like that, and it rarely ever works out, if you ask me. I mean, what makes somebody that was great at hockey good enough to build and run a team? I've never really understood why that's happened, but I don't see where Neely even goes from here. So if he got his way, which is what you hear through everyone, that he didn't like Chiarelli and him and Julien didn't get along. All right, well, now they're both gone, so what are you going to do now? You look at their team, some great young prospects playing in college that really can make a difference. But in the immediate future, I really don't know what you're going to do, because this team isn't going to make the playoffs. The Islanders have games in hand. Toronto has so many games in hand. They're just not that good of a team. So Neely's the one to do it, but he's got to make one or two moves that actually ends up working and makes a difference to make this team better, because so far it's been nothing but him kind of looking like the bad guy here.
So if you think the Bruins will make it, and now this might be part of the process, Leafs get a point. They get three out of four on the road. They come back and get Dallas tonight. They're in a playoff spot this morning. Do you think they have a better chance than the Bruins for getting in? Do you think that's those chances have increased since the firing of Claude Julien?
No, I think I really like the Leafs to get in, because this wasn't the coaching. There wasn't a problem with coaching in Boston. I mean, I understand why he got fired. That always happens. It's the story everyone knows. You can't trade everyone. But what is a new coach going to do that Julien really struggled with? I don't necessarily see like their offense starting to click more or Tuukka to play any better, even though without him this year, they'd be way even below where they are in the standings. And when it comes to Toronto, I really like their team. I said last time I was up in Toronto for Sportsnet that I think they're going to get in. They play hard. They have so much skill. The rookies are the points the rookies are producing, it's really incredible to see. And I like them getting in. I think that the Islanders could possibly sneak into a wild card, but I don't see Boston.
Mm. Yeah, it gets significantly difficult, too, because they've made that change, right? And then you got to wonder, was that for the sake of making change, or was that a kick in the pants for a team that's struggling? Because, you know, the one thing when you don't have the ability to put, NHL talent on the ice day in, day out, and we know that because our D-Corps, by and large, half of them would be average AHLers, but take nothing away from, a lot of the guys that are carrying the mail specifically here, but at least they have some pieces up front. You know, you look at a guy like Brad Marchand, who's having a world-beating season, and his World Cup of Hockey was terrific. Maybe it breathes some life and confidence into the guy. But they still have some really good pieces there, don't they?
Yeah, they do. it's just upsetting to see what's happened to them in a team that was built to compete for cups. They won one, they went to another final, and all of a sudden this is going to be 3 years of them not making the playoffs. And it, you look at what they have. Marchand's turned into a completely elite-level player, top-end player in the NHL. Bergeron's had an off year offensively, but he's still Patrice Bergeron. Pasternak showed that I think he's a future, you know, 30, 40-goal guy. But other than that, I mean, it kind of drops off quick. And, you know, they signed Matt Beletsky to a big contract, not this past summer, the summer before. Backes was this summer. Both of those guys, it's just they don't really fit into the current NHL mode. You look at Toronto's new players, skill, fast, you know, a dynamic, whereas Boston signed guys who are tough to play against and bigger and a little bit on the slower end. And so it's just like their team's kind of gone in this backwards route that has made no sense. So, yeah, they certainly have some pieces up front, but their D also, I mean, they don't really have a ton there either. Chara's getting older. I still wonder if last year or the year before, if that was the time, if you're ever going to trade Zdeno Chara, if you tell him, listen, we have a trade, you don't have to accept that you have a no trade, but we can get a lot, and you can go on and have your last couple years be on a cup-contending team. You wonder if something could happen there, but I don't really see them set up for the future here. They have some good prospects, like I said, but right now it doesn't look great.
Where'd you watch the Super Bowl?
I was in my apartment with three of my good buddies, and we were going bananas. I said after, I was like, I can't believe I didn't set up a GoPro just to record us watching that entire game. I think that video could have gone viral because of the range of emotions was just insane.
Now, at any point in time, a lot of people did this, including one of your friends, Marky Mark. You may have heard Mark Wahlberg left the building, said it was because his kid was sick, but conveniently he was 28-3 at that point. Did you ever consider turning it off, or did you go, I'm riding this out, win, lose, or draw?
Oh, there was no turning it off. There was three of us we weren't negative. We were just like, oh, my God, this sucks. Like, can they win? Like, we're trying to say scenarios. They need to win. And then one of the kids is like, they're going to win. They're definitely not going to lay down. They'll be there at the end. They'll have a chance to tie it. And sure enough, they did. Now, we had a lot of instances where, like, one guy couldn't watch. He'd go downstairs and listen to our reaction. I went in the room next to the TV and just watched people's faces to them watching the game. That's how I reacted. But it was just, I mean, you're so lucky to be Patriots fans. And in the history of all the Boston sports teams, to have the best game in the history of Boston sports be when we were, you know, mid-30s watching it, drinking, it was certainly something I'll never forget. It was incredible.
Ryan, as Tom Brady surpassed Big Poppy as the biggest star in Boston, it'll always be Big Poppy.
No, it's Brady. It's Brady. I think even before this year, it was Brady. I don't know necessarily. I mean, he had four titles. Poppy got three. Now he's got five. But I think Brady's now, like, on a level with Michael Jordan in terms of sports legends. Like, this guy, it's just, at halftime, my father texted me, said, if there's one person in the world that can do it, it's him. And he actually goes out and does it. It's just, that game was, what a great football game. In Atlanta, you don't want to say the Patriots completely won it, because they had some plays and instances when they completely blew it.
Hey, did you, let me ask you, of all the Super Bowls, you being a huge Pat fan, Ryan Whitney, our guest, he's an analyst for the NHL Network and Sportsnet as well, also podcast Spit and Chicklets, Barstool, which we'll get to your ambient story in a second. But real quick, I wanted to ask you, at any point in time after all of these Super Bowls, five of them, is there a question that was the greatest Super Bowl you've ever seen won by the New England Patriots?
It certainly has. And tell me, was there any chance in the world that after the Seattle win with the interception by Malcolm Butler at the last play of the game that a Super Bowl would ever be beaten? And it somehow they went out and did it two years later. And the biggest comeback in Super Bowl history was 10 points prior to this 25-point comeback. And they also had that record. The Patriots had that record as well. So I can't believe that a game was that good. They've been to five Super Bowls. They've won two of them on last-second field goals, one on the last second interception, one went to overtime, and then the other one, Philly had a chance to tie it up late. So just every game's been incredible that they've gone to, and that was still the best one.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a stat that was out this morning. They led for exactly 0 seconds of that Super Bowl and still won.
I saw that.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Ryan, we had the conversation this morning. Doesn't this feel like it would be the perfect time for Tom Brady to retire? Greatest game ever, did the old F you to the NFL and Roger Goodell. How many more Super Bowls is enough? Or, you know, if you're a player, should he be hanging them up?
you could totally see that side of it. And for a guy like that, I mean, what else can you do? Kind of, you know, right. You look at it that way. But then that's when the more I've kind of read about Brady, and he's very private. Everyone knows that. But you can hear some things. He's on the radio once a week here. He's a psychopath. He is the most dedicated, insane athlete. He hasn't even considered retiring yet. He says he wants to play till he's 45 years old. And you look at him, he's better now than what he was when he was 25. So, like, why would he retire? You see, yeah, you got your fifth title and you ride off into the sunset as the greatest quarterback of all time. But in this guy's head, he's thinking about the sixth one. And then you also talk about Belichick, who said right after the game, you know, this was an amazing day, but we're 5 weeks behind in preparing for the 2017 season.
Yeah.
So it's just like it never stops with these guys, and retirement could make sense. But I think Brady saying that he said, I'm never in pain anymore. I'm 39. I feel better than I did 15 years ago. God knows what he's doing. I know he eats like avocado ice cream and stuff.
Yeah.
But he is a very, very focused athlete.
Now, part of your training when you were an NHLer, I don't know if this is when you were an NHLer, but recently in your Spit and Chicklets podcast at BarstoolSports.com, you said what you used to do is you and your buddies used to hang out, do some Ambien, and play NHL video games. Is that correct?
Yeah. Alex Goligoski and I, who's in Arizona, we lived together in Pittsburgh for the season that I ended up being traded at the deadline.
Yeah.
And we were just, night before games, take an Ambien, not remember anything, play about 15 games of NHL 08, and then just in the morning, like, wake up and look at, like, the scoreboard on the screen of the computer because we didn't even remember finishing the game. I can remember, like, screaming at guys from, like, the Islanders that we were playing against two nights later from the NHL game for missing the net.
Whose idea was it to mix in the Ambien with some video games?
Well, I think Ambien's pretty common around the NHL. I mean, I think it's becoming less common. It's not the greatest thing in the world, but it definitely helps guys sleep who are traveling and make it easier to fall asleep. But so we would take one of those and be like, let's play. And then, you know, you just kind of get into it. You don't really know what's going on besides your competitiveness for video games.
And Ambien or not, who did you use all the time? Like, which one of your buddies would you play with all the time and get pissed at all the time?
I actually had a kid who don't know, he was just a buddy back home, this kid Jack Greeley, and he figured out this, like, move, you go around the net, and it was like a glitch move, and I would just lose my mind. I'm like, no glitch move today. He'd still use it. I'd be screaming at the computer or the PlayStation, and I'm like, those days, I kind of miss playing video games. I might have to go back to that.